always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
And we're live. Welcome, everybody, here to the Lakers Lounge Podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin, senior Lakers insider, as well as lead Lakers content creator for Offside. Joined on this, what do we want to call it, Harrison? Like, how would you describe this Wednesday afternoon?
Wednesday.
Honestly, today feels like it should have been a Tuesday. Like God, how, what a crazy long week. And then somebody walks by, is like, it's only Tuesday.
Like, yeah, it's Tuesday, you know? Lemon.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Yeah. So today on the show, we're going to be talking about everything. There is a lot to talk about. I don't even know how long we're going to be here. This might be one of those long wandering things. I know, Harrison, you eventually have to go off to talk to Trill and those guys, but I don't know how long we're going to be here. I'm sure we're going to get plenty of super comments. I'm sure we're going to get a ton of questions and stuff, but we have to talk about the Lakers saying goodbye to LeBron. We have to talk about the Lakers saying goodbye to Rui and to Kennard and to Marcus Smart. Smart, I think, was the one that you felt in your soul the most. We have to say hello to Walker Kessler, and we have to say goodbye to all of the draft stock that the Lakers gave up to get Walker Kessler. We have to say hello to Sandru Mamukelishvili. Is a Kalishvili?
I still need to learn how to pronounce that. It's Mamu for this show.
Mamu.
You know, I'm gonna have to look up some YouTube videos.
I've looked up the pronunciation and I never trust myself with it. And I also, as you guys can maybe hear a little bit in my voice, have this kind of lisp going right now because I bit my tongue right before I was going to record the Mamu report. And it turned out so bad that I was just like, nope, we're just going to keep that one off to the side. So we're going to talk about, Mamu as an addition. We're going to talk about Quentin Grimes. We're going to talk about Colin Sexton. And how we feel about this offseason to this point and how Project 2026 has turned out. Today, as always, is brought to you in video form by Prize Picks. Use that promo code HMA and get $50 worth of free picks. When you sign up, use the code and make a $5 lineup of your own. Please hit that like button. Please hit that subscribe button. Turn on notifications for the show as well as notifications for YouTube so you get the notifications of the show. And then if you guys are listening to the show in its podcast form, please subscribe wherever you get them, preferably on Odyssey, but anywhere is perfectly fine with me. Harrison, I don't want to give too much away, but you told me that you were in therapy before we went live, and I want to know, like, did Marcus Smart come up in your therapy?
Of course.
All right. Well, here's my therapy story. The reason that I didn't go live or record an offside video or basically do anything is because I was in my son's, and he had a double session today. He had speech therapy and then occupational therapy back to back.
I thought the whole point of revealing that I had therapy was that we weren't going to reveal your son's therapies.
Well, no, but it was like, so I was sitting there like in his therapy and I was like, man, I wonder if I can just like push him off to the side and then like get my therapy session in here, because I wish, Harrison, and I know that people are going to think this is some kind of a bit. I wish I liked this offseason a lot more than I actually do. I think this was like, I think they're demonstrably worse today than they were at the beginning of the summer. And they are so much worse and they have so little flexibility to get better that I think this puts Luka's departure at even greater risk than it was you know, at the onset of the summer.
That's a bright thought. Yeah, I know that normally I'm supposed to be like the analytical, like sort of measured one on this show that talks you down from the ledge and whatever. But that is not going to be me today, because I am like not happy about this. And I wish I'm with you. I wish I was happy with this. And I wish, like, Kessler was a guy that I wanted. You and I have been talking about Kessler going back like 2 years. That it's not that I think that he's bad or something, or like that.
No,
him getting him in and of himself is like a Westbrook level debacle. But like, I don't think that today is still not as bad as like the Russ trade. It's not as bad as, like, you know, I saw people making the Mozgov Dang comparison, and like, it's still not that bad. It's not that bad. I'm sorry. Like, you know,
well, in fairness, they didn't give up draft capital to pay Mozgov.
No, well, they did. They just had to do it after to get rid of those contracts. they did end up giving up the number two pick to get off of Mozgov's deal. That guy is arguably not going to be in the league this year. So it's, you know, it wasn't the greatest number two pick in NBA history, but they did have to give up some draft capital to get out of those mistakes that were made by, you know, Rob, which Rob did. There were mistakes by a previous front office, but he got to come in and fix them. And I just wonder how long it is before we're saying that about the next guy coming in to fix this.
You know what this reminds me of, Harrison? And I made this comparison to a few people over the course of the day, because, like, this is such a brazen attempt to keep his job, right? This is so clearly Rob doing whatever he possibly can to get Luka the guy that doesn't force Luka and his camp to go to ownership and be like, are we sure about Rob? Are we positive? And what it really reminds me of, Harrison, is remember back at the end of Jim Buss's tenure, how he had promised everybody that the Lakers were going to make some like lengthy run in the playoffs.
No, just to make the playoffs. He didn't promise a lengthy run. He said they would make the playoffs.
All right. So he was promising that the Lakers would make the playoffs. The Lakers clearly weren't close to making the playoffs. And in an attempt to make those playoffs, remember right at the very, very end, he tried to trade for Boogie Cousins, only to have Jeannie Buss step in and override that trade and say, nope, we're not doing that, and then eventually fire Jim Buss. I wish Jeannie would have stepped in.
Yeah, I was going to say, they not only stopped him, they stepped in, stopped him, and fired him.
Yeah. Well, they fired him because they were concerned about him putting, you know, the longer-term you know, health of the organization ahead, or I guess behind his own job security. And in this case, it feels a lot like Rob did that. It's one thing, Harrison, like, I would have rather signed Walker Kessler to a full on max contract than give up two first round picks and two pick swaps for the opportunity to pay him $30 million a year or $32 million a year, whatever it is. Like, it's such a, I think I saw that the Lakers don't have a first round pick that they can trade until like 2027 or something like that. It makes me really nervous that this team clearly has holes.
2027 is not that far. You mean like 7 years out?
Seven years out. Yeah. Yeah.
2027 is just a couple months. That wouldn't be that bad.
We're getting old. So it's like 2027. But like, it makes me really nervous that this team clearly has gaping holes in it. Who's their starting four? Who's their start? Like, they have
Amu.
Great. He can't be, because he's going to guard you're going to run into the same problems that you ran into with LeBron, where Mamu is going to guard the same guys that Luka is going to guard. Luka needs to guard fours. So who's your starting wing? Who's going to guard threes? Vando? They're going to start Vando? JJ Redick hates Vando.
I can promise you they're not going to start Vando.
Yeah. Do they really, really believe in a Adu Thiro? Is that guy going to go from never playing to a starter next year?
And you know, unfortunately, it brings me no joy to point this out because he's a young guy. I hope that he is able to stay healthy, but got hurt every single time he tried to play.
Yeah, well, and like I see Danny here or Dre the General is saying Grimes. Grimes is 6'4". He can't guard threes.
He can't. We might be.
Yeah, like. Like they're gonna start Jake LaRavia, the guy that we just saw urinate down his leg in the playoffs.
I don't know. I just
Jake's a fine regular season starter, but
yeah, I mean he's young enough, maybe he improves enough that it makes more sense next year. But like I don't know. Jake's fine as a fifth
starter in the regular season. I think he has some major playoff limitations, and that's part of my concern with this entire roster build is like guys with playoff limitations and guys with like, you know, instead of potentially having a higher ceiling in the playoffs, like you went from a lot of guys that potentially could help you more in a playoff series to guys that could help you less. And so it's like, is the goal just to get like the one seed and get Luka an MVP and then like lose in the second round? Because I mean, I think they got a shot at that.
I think goal is an interesting term here to use in that. Like, I think the goal of this offseason, the goal of Rob's offseason was to remain employed. And he like without landing Kessler, he gets fired. Like, I think we agree on that. Right. If he didn't land.
If he doesn't land Kessler or Durin,
I think he gets fired.
I think maybe at midseason or next summer, but I don't think they wouldn't have like fired him this week. You know, they would have had him finish out the offseason, and you know, maybe they would have seen what he could do with the trade deadline. Did he pitch them any crazy Jim Buss trades? And then either they fire him then or they fire him after the season. I don't think they would have fired him this summer. You'd know better than me, but I don't think so.
He definitely was feeling the pressure though.
We can say that for sure, that he was feeling the pressure based on how today went.
Well, that's my point, is that like the Walker Kessler acquisition to me and the way it went down screams to me of somebody whose plan didn't go the way that he thought it was going to go, right? They overvalued cap space and then still walked away with having to give up way too much draft capital to utilize your cap space. And in so doing, right, like, yeah, you can, you know, he'll sit there at the presser and he'll pat himself on the back with 73 zippers on his jacket, and he'll tell everybody.
No. I think he's toning down the zippers for this one. I don't think Walker Kessler gets the same number of zippers as Luka. I think maybe one zipper down the mid. Maybe he's just wearing a hoodie. You know, I think you got to show some respect and cut back on the zippers for the Luka one.
I guess that's true. It'll have one fewer zipper on there than Luka. I think he needs to sell this as some transcendent acquisition. He needs to.
It really is too bad that we all bullied him out of doing like the KCP Mana from Heaven press conferences, because I would love to hear what biblical analogy he would come up with for Walker Kessler coming from Mormon country, you know, to save the Lakers.
He came down.
You know, the last time a guy,
Walker Kessler.
You know, yeah. You know, it's a great question, Dave. And I just want to say, like, I think, you know, I respect you so much, and I respect all of you beautiful media members so much. And I just want to say that, like, to me,
except
this is
you,
a lot Jovan. Like, yeah, except Jovan, fuck him. You know, I just want to say that the last time that we saw a guy come down from the high mountains of Salt Lake City carrying this much promise, he went by the name Joseph Smith. And so I just want.
He's just like, I don't know. This just the acquiring Kessler this way, it just tells me that like in there was only one path that, you know, would have meant success to, you know, on this plan. And it had to feature one of the restricted free agents. And he was doing whatever he possibly could to land one of those restricted free agents. And I do know that the Lakers liked Kessler quite a bit more than Duren.
After the playoffs, I would potentially agree with that. I think he's a better fit with Luka.
I would wonder, like, how, if this is what it costs to get Kessler, I wonder what the cost would have been to get Duren. If it was like the same price, who would I rather give up that draft package for?
I also just like, I like Kessler's archetype better alongside Luka, where like he's a little bit more defensively focused, or you know, actually significantly more defensively focused, yeah, and talented. And so like if you're gonna have sort of Austin Reeves and Luka locked in as starters, I think Kessler is a better fit than Duren would have been.
Yeah, although I want to talk about Austin in a bit, because I, looking at this roster, an Austin trade feels more sensible now than it did at the beginning of the summer.
they haven't even put the ink on the contract yet.
I don't like not having a small forward. Like
But I mean, the question is, how good of a small forward are you getting for a scoring guard? I don't know that you're getting,
well, a scoring guard, and he does create for others. Like it's not like you're trading Norm Powell for this wing, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Fair.
But yeah, I think that, you know, to me, all I keep thinking about is like, you know, this scream to me all day of Rob putting his own, you know, job security ahead of what is actually best for the Lakers here moving forward. To me,
which is not a surprise. He's done that the entire time that he has been employed.
So you took it the same way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't give up.
I was hoping you would push back on the ability to,
you don't give up the ability to trade a first for like 7 years for Walker Kessler, you know, if you aren't feeling to some degree under the gun. And you know, the other thing that I think that, you know, we're underrating here is like, you know, or maybe we haven't talked about enough yet, because Kessler's at least a good player. And so if he can stay healthy like that, that's going to, you know, that move is going to look good during the regular season next year. I have concerns about the long term viability and like the playoff upside of it and stuff. But like that, he's going to be a good regular season starter. And like that will look like a good move. And like, you know, we're going to get some pieces in the first 2 weeks of like, oh, were y'all too mad?
Me, although if he gets Rob hurt again.
Like, see, the 5 games thing, I'd be curious about, not that the Lakers medical staff has a great track record, but the Jazz have a track record of like finding new injuries for players. So I don't know, like, how much was he banged up last year versus how much did the Jazz like keep throwing hammers at him when he tried to like take the next step in his rehab process, you know? Or like Danny Ainge was like throwing out banana peels in front of him
in that arm that he
yeah.
Trying to get him to slip in the practice facility. My shoulder's kind of hurting me, and Ainge is like,
"Yeah." I'm less concerned about that, but what I am sort of concerned about is that not only like we can take LeBron and we can put him to the side. You know, this is a guy that like, you know, you're losing for essentially nothing, but I guess like the flexibility to overpay for Walker Kessler and the other free agents. Anytime you can lose LeBron to overpay Quentin Grimes, like I think you have to do it. But Colin Sexton, you know, Mamu's probably not an overpay. It seemed like he was probably going to get that much on the market, but I don't know. I mean, I'm not going to pretend like I have extremely strong and informed Mamu opinions.
His salary almost.
Yeah.
He made five and a half last year. He's like 13 now.
Like LeBron might have been set to leave anyway. And like that, let's put that to the side. But like you just signed to me three guys who are worse playoff players than Marcus Smart for more than Marcus Smart got. And like, that is an insane decision to me that sort of emphasizes. And again, like maybe Marcus just like really wanted to go to Houston, really wanted to reunite with Ime. Maybe he didn't like playing with the Lakers or whatever. He liked the tax situation. You know, he's an unrestricted free agent. So we don't know, like maybe there was nothing the Lakers could have done there, but I just have a feeling that if you would have put a little more money on the table than he was getting from Houston, you might've had a shot to keep him. And it seems like they did not even attempt that really.
I mentioned this on Twitter and I wanted to run this by you. Have you watched The Bear? Did you like finish The Bear yet?
I never consumed it. I only know Jeremy Allen White as Rod of the Hutt from the Mandalorian movie.
I never saw that movie.
He's not like his father, Anthony.
All right. So the bear is obviously, to those of you who, you know, have watched it, stick with me, but the bear is the show about this dude who takes over his brother's restaurant. And then they convert that, you know, like mom and pop, like sandwich shop into this like restaurant that is up for Michelin stars and all this stuff. And as like the restaurant makes this transformation, you start to see that like all of the people who are in their positions are like not overqualified, but they are like too talent. Like they are like very, very talented people who could go off and do what they're doing at like their own spot. Right. And it's this, you know, kind of statement about culture and about sacrifice and about togetherness and belief in this grander project. And I was thinking about this over the weekend after I watched that show, and I compare it to like the Lakers. Who was the last guy to take a discount to be on the Lakers? Well, clearly not. He had to opt in.
He took a buyout. He did give up, I think, some money too, didn't he? Or did he end up making it all back?
No. I'm saying he might have made a lot of it back. No, but I'm saying like him at the number last year, clearly it wasn't that much of a discount because he didn't opt out of his contract to get paid more this year, right?
It was truly hard to predict. There were like, I remember like going into free agency, there were people talking about him opting out, and I was like, really? Like, what am I missing? Yeah,
me too.
And then it turned out he just opted in. I was like, I don't like, who is the team that's like, I want to pay DeAndre Ayton more than $8.5 million next year.
Right. Well, because the reason I bring this up is because you look across the league and like Isaiah Hartenstein took less. Andrew Wiggins signed that weird, like he opted into his contract, but then he signed for 2 years at $17 million apiece after making 30 this year. You have who were the other players that Shams was like tweeting about their career earnings rather than like the actual contract that they're on. But like there are, you know,
I'm so excited, by the way, you called it, and I'm so excited for the LeBron now surpasses X amount in career earnings instead of his actual contract for whatever the net. Like we're all going to have to wait for Jake Fisher
for like somebody just do the math. Actual
contract. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, it's, the reason that I had to bring this up is because like it's been a long time since the Lakers had a guy who took demonstrably less for the sake of the team. And like, in order for LeBron,
that doesn't happen a lot in the NBA anymore, aside from Jalen Brunson, whose dad and godfather are like in charge of the front office. Most guys just take the money now.
Sure. I think what is kind of at play here is it's a lot easier to consider that kind of sacrifice, right? Like Isaiah Hartenstein loves being a member of the Oklahoma City Thunder. You know, Andrew Wiggins is sticking around in Miami because Giannis just showed up and they're finally going to compete for a championship. And he's playing on a team with a guy who scored 83 points last year. I'm kidding.
Well, that and they offered him an extension without even making him opt out. Most of the time, it's like you have to opt out of the giant deal. And then they're like, we'll smooth that over several years of security. And they were like, no, it's fine. Just opt into the giant number and we'll just pay you on the back end of it.
Right. And so like I compare that to like the Lakers, and Dorian Finney-Smith plays for them 1 year and goes, yeah, I'd rather go home. Marcus Smart plays for them 1 year and goes, I'd rather go home. LeBron, if you listen to Rich Paul, LeBron and Rob Pelinka had a conversation about like Rob's plan for the roster, and LeBron's like, I'd rather go play with Steph or wherever he's going to go.
Yeah, I will say that I kind of doubt they even gave LeBron the plan for the roster. I think they were like, you know,
I think they did tell him that we have to renounce you to have a shot at the center that we want. And that was the end of the conversation.
I don't think they were retaining LeBron under any realistic circumstances.
I mean, we could do like the comparison of Clutch's story versus like what we think actually happened. But to wrap up this point though, now that I've been talking for 15 minutes about it, like And this is something that apparently the Lakers are kind of cognizant of. They're really excited that like they have Quentin Grimes on this longer term contract. Mamu is on a 4-year contract. Walker Kessler's on this 4-year contract, and they're really excited that like they're going to have some continuity with the guys that they signed to these deals. Austin Reeves is on a 4-year deal, and they're really excited to see like to what extent, you know, that this team can grow organically versus rather than all right, trade this guy, trade this draft pick. And what they're trying to do is like build out a culture that people believe in enough to like actually stick around for, you know, those plans coming to fruition. And I think that's as we see some of the departures and as we see some of like the decisions made by people who spent a little time with the Lakers and how they look back on that time. Like one of, unfortunately, the through lines of the Rob Pelinka tenure is that like, if you aren't a super duper star, or if you aren't somebody that like a super duper star really, really wants to keep around, then you don't matter. And you're you are the definition of fungible. And I don't think that there's any real belief, any real culture that anybody wants to really sacrifice for. And I think it puts you at a real disadvantage against some of those teams that do have those things going for them. And I don't know if there's ever any kind of, real argument, or one of the main arguments that I would have for letting Rob go, is this dude has done a piss poor job at building out a culture in its entirety. And until they get somebody in there who can do that, as we have seen Mark Walter watch with Andrew Friedman and the crew that have built out the Dodgers the way that they have, I just think the Lakers are going to keep making short-term decision after short-term decision and just kind of wander rudderless through whatever seas they can navigate.